Let us take a few moments to prepare our hearts this morning in prayer. As I was preparing this morning, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to see if I can find a prayer for us for this new year. And so I found this one. It's called a congregational prayer for New Year. So please just listen and join your hearts in prayer this morning. And then after I've prayed this prayer, we'll take a few moments of silence just to reflect and thank the Lord today for the opportunity to be able to hear from His Word, from His Spirit, speaking to us in our time of reflection this morning. So let's pray together this congregational prayer. Lord, we stand at the door of this new year, thankful for the year behind us, a gift through which we've lived and moved. At this timely threshold, with our feet poised to walk into 2024, we turn to you with our prayers of hope. Hope springs eternal when we walk with you. Help us walk this year with you. We hope that this will be a year filled with joy, with love, and laughter. A year filled with plenty and abundance, with purpose and fulfillment. But if the year brings hard times and hurt, pain and sorrow, tears and trial, we know that your care and comfort will console us month by month. Grace us with forgiving spirits. As a community, help us walk with the happy and the sorrowful, holding their stories tenderly. We hope for peace in our time, for an end to wild war music. We long to hear the sounds of governments listening to their people, heeding their pleas for justice. We long to hear the sound of children, the children of the world, cheering together because peace has been declared, and they do not have to fear anymore. We hope for healing, for our beloved earth, for harmony and balance, where we have caused disharmony and imbalance. This year, Lord, help us to feel in our bones the beauty of this life, this world, its sounds and sights and smells and tastes, the lavishness of being which you give us in seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months. Move in us. Have your way with us so that on the last day of this year, we can say wholeheartedly, this year has been a gift through which we've lived and moved as followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the one who knows our hearts, who hears our quiet prayers. Lord, you know our longings. You know our desires. You know our failings. You know our weaknesses. And Lord, we thank you for your love, for your grace, for your peace. Your peace that passes all understanding, that transcends our ability to really understand. But Lord, we thank you for your presence here today. And Lord, we pray now that you would just open our hearts, open our minds, that we might be able to receive from you the word of life. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we come together, we all know that a new year is on the horizon. And with the new year comes, well, what comes with a new year? What's one thing that we hear a lot about every year about this time? What was that? Oh, obligated to stay up late. Oh, okay. Well, that's one thing. Resolution. Oh, resolutions. Who said resolutions? Oh, okay. The resolutions. Are those dreaded resolutions? Or are they those promising resolutions? Well, every year at this time, people are making New Year's revolutions. I didn't mean to say that. Resolutions. The promises or goals that we set for ourselves, the things that reflect the changes that we'd like to make in our lives over the course of a new year. Well, you know, this past week or so, I went over to the internet and I started looking on the internet to see what are the most common New Year's resolutions that people make. And you'd be surprised. And you know, as I read these, I want you to try to find yourself in these resolutions. Whether you're thinking about making one of them this year, or whether you've made something like a resolution like this in the past year, or past years. But these are the top 10 most common resolutions. Here we go. The first, number 10. Is to reorganize life. Number 9, be more charitable. Number 8, learn something new. Number 7, get out of debt. Number 6, stop drinking. Number 5, enjoy life more. Number 4, stop smoking. Number 3, lose weight. I didn't mean to pause there. But number 2, get fit. And number 1, spend more time with loved ones. Interesting, huh? When you look at all the resolutions that could ever be made, these are the top 10 most common resolutions. Did you find yourself on the list? That you've made some kind of resolution like this before in the past? You know, as we look at these resolutions, I'm sure that some of you may have already been thinking, you know, I need to make some kind of changes in my life this next year. I need to make some kind of resolution for this year. Has anybody been thinking about what they want to accomplish over this next year? Okay, what? A few people. Okay, so we're going to play a game. Well, not a game right now, but you've probably been wondering what this piece of paper is that you were given when you came in this morning. Well, this piece of paper is for you to take a few moments right now, okay? There should be pens in front of you on the seat backs of the chairs, but I'd like you to take this piece of paper, and I'd like you to think about a resolution or a promise or a goal that you'd like to set for yourself this next year. I mean, it can be anything, okay? It doesn't matter what it is, but it can be anything. But on this paper, write the words, I resolve to, and then fill in the blank for yourself, okay? Take a few moments to do that. Okay, has everybody done their resolution, or you need a little bit more time? A little bit more time? Who needs more time? Okay, all right. Well, just hold on to that, okay? Hold on to that resolution as we go through this message today. So now we have a New Year's resolution. Something to work toward. Something to look forward to keeping or to breaking. Okay? We have something to look forward to. Either we're going to keep it or we're going to break it. That's the reality. You know, according to Wikipedia, you know, again, if you check out Wikipedia, sometimes it gives you the most recent research that shows that, well, 52% of participants in a resolution study were confident of success with their goal. Get this. Only 12% achieved their goals. And of that study group that made a resolution, men achieved their goal 22% more often when they engaged in goal setting. A system where small measurable goals are used. Let's say, lose a pound a week instead of saying, I'm just going to lose weight this year. Okay, so men, that's important for you. So when, as you made your New Year's resolution, you know, mine was, I'm going to swim or walk at least 3 times a week. You know, that's a measurable kind of goal, right? I'm going to do it in, you know, at least 3 times a week, either swim or walk. All right? That's the kind of goals that men usually like to set is, and will achieve if they set out measurable small goals. Well, women, on the other hand, succeed 10% more often when they made their goal public and got support from their friends. Okay, so if you've made a, women, if you've made a goal today or set a goal, make sure you tell somebody, a close friend who can help to hold you accountable to that goal. I think that goes for every one of us, right? But this is just according to the statistics. You know, I don't want to be a wet blanket when I share these statistics with you, but as we make New Year's resolutions, just know that only 12% of those who make resolutions will end up keeping them. Does that mean we should abandon all hope of being able to achieve our New Year's resolutions or maybe not even make them because 78% of those who make them break them, usually within the first 2 weeks? You know, it may be true that only 12% achieve their goals or achieve their resolutions. Maybe only 12% stay focused on their goal and are successful in keeping their quest to see the lasting changes made in the way that they live their lives. But if you were given a choice today, okay, if you were given a choice to either be in the 78% who do not achieve their goals, or if you were given the choice to be in the 12% who achieve their goal, which of those groups would you rather be in? Which? The 12% or the 78%? The 12% who achieve their resolution or fulfill their resolution, or the 78 who fail? Because either they don't make a resolution or they don't bother fulfilling it. Which would you rather be? I want to see a poll, a show of hands. This is a poll. This is a straw poll. No, you don't even have to look at anybody else around you, okay? Don't look around you. Who would want to be in the 12%? Okay, who would rather be in the 78? Oh, I knew you were going to do that. I shouldn't have pointed you out, Bruce. Oops. Not to mention anybody's name, right? But I know he's just being contentious, right? Contrary. Every one of us, every one of us would want to be in that 12%. We want to achieve the things that we set out to do. So how do we go about doing that? How do we go about achieving these goals? Well, you know, it's time for us to take a look at what the Bible teaches us about New Year's resolutions. I mean, that's a good question, isn't it? I mean, we want to know, what does the Bible teach us about New Year's resolutions? Well, I got some bad news for you. The Bible teaches us absolutely nothing about making New Year's resolutions. You know that?
Yep.
I mean, that's true. I mean, there's nothing specifically in the Bible that says, here is how you make a New Year's resolution, right? But, here's the good news. The good news is, the Bible does give us some instruction on setting personal growth goals and how to achieve them. The Bible really does encourage us to be people who are constantly seeking to grow in our faith, to grow in our understanding of who God is, and to grow in our understanding of how we are to live in this world around us. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, sets forth this challenge for us in his prayer. And it really is a personal growth goal for the church, for each one of us within the church. This is Paul's prayer for the Philippians. He says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God." Did you catch what he's encouraging us to do in terms of setting our personal growth and development goals for this new year? You know, in this prayer, he has a number of things that he sets out and encourages his friends in Philippi and anyone who's ever read these words with eyes of faith to be people who have their goals and desires to grow in what? Love, he says. I want you to grow in love. I want you to grow in your knowledge of God. Your depth of insight, that spiritual intuition that comes from meditating on God's word and hiding it in our hearts, so that you may be able to discern what is best, that you might have discernment, spiritual discernment, and that you may be pure and blameless on the day of Christ Jesus, and that you might be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through that personal relationship, that growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It says, here are some personal growth goals for you, that your love may abound. Isn't that a great goal? To become more loving. To know, and then to have a deeper sense of knowledge, the knowledge of God, that deeper things of God, and growing in His insights, the insights of God's Word. And who wouldn't want discernment? To be able to really be able to discern in these very difficult and troubling times, to be able to really have that discernment, that spiritual discernment, to know what's right and what's wrong, and to know and to have those words to be able to tell other people, or the message to be able to share to others. To be pure and blameless. All of these are goals. When I look at it, this is an amazing goal, an amazing resolution for the church. It would be revolutionary. It would be revolutionary if we were to adopt this kind of spiritual growth goal. I mean, I think this is the granddaddy of all resolutions, if you want to put it that way. And, you know, Paul has set the bar high for us when he prays this prayer. And this is a resolution that only God and us working together can fulfill, as we put our trust in God. You know, I've got to check on something before we go any further. All right? Now, who all said that you wanted to be in that 12%? Yeah, all of us who said that? Yeah, just want to make sure, because, you know, this is a pretty challenging goal for us. If we are going to grow more and more and more in love and knowledge and depth of insight and discernment, if we're becoming more and more pure and blameless before the Lord and filled with that fruit of righteousness, you know, that if we're being filled with God more and more, it's going to take something. It's challenging. It's a challenging goal. But, you know, nothing worthwhile is ever easy to achieve. Isn't that true? How many of you have come to realize that? You know, like, if it's not just an easy thing to achieve those permanent and lasting results in our life. It takes something. You know, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, understood this. That's why he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 to 11, he gives us this word of encouragement, as he spoke to his friends in Corinth. He says this: examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong, not so that people will see that we have stood the test, but so that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is that you may be fully restored. This is why I write these things when I'm absent, that when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority, the authority the Lord gave me for the building, for building you up, not for tearing you down in your faith. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. See, the Apostle Paul understood that, you know, to set these goals, you know, to for growth in our spirit, in our soul, soul growth, deep growth in the Lord Jesus Christ, it takes something. It takes some commitment on our part. You notice that Paul uses a number of words here to encourage his friends and encourage us in order to help us meet the challenge of meeting our goals, our spiritual growth goals. Paul uses the words examine. Examine yourself. Test yourselves. He says, be fully restored. That word also there is strive for perfection. But we're going to look at these words in just a moment. But these three words are so important for us to understand if we're truly going to be those who are able to set manageable goals for ourselves in terms of our spiritual growth and development over this next year. Paul uses the word, the first word that Paul uses there is to examine. Examine yourself. It's the Greek word periazo. And it means to try whether a thing can be done. To attempt or endeavor. To make trial of, to test for the purpose of ascertaining its quality, his quality, or that what he thinks or how he will behave himself in a good sense. You know, Paul uses this word in the context of examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. In the faith. You know, before we are able to set a resolution or a goal, a personal growth goal for ourselves, we need to examine our hearts, examine ourselves. How many of you as this year was coming to an end took some time to just reflect back over this last year to be able to see not only where God had been at work in you, but how you have progressed in your faith over this last year? How many of you have taken the time to just kind of sit and reflect and say, God, you know, I'm different than I was last year. You know, the experiences of this year have shaped me, have formed me, have tried me, have tested me, have caused me to change, to be transformed from within by a whole new way of thinking. You know, I can say that over this last year when I look back and I go, wow, who would have thought that at the beginning of last year for me that my dad would go through everything that he went through from January, the 26th, 24th of January, right through until August the 3rd when he passed away. That journey that he would be on, and not only him, but me. I was on a transformative journey this last year. You know, when I look back, I go, wow, I gained a very different perspective on life when I walked with my dad. As he went from being able to get up and be mobile to not being able to be mobile in bed, and then not being able to even get himself out of bed in the hospital, and then having to have everybody do everything for him. And then to the place where that last week of his life, he was just lying in bed, just breathing. And I had the opportunity to walk with him through that whole last phase of his life. Changed me. Changed my perspective. And I hope that when I'm like my dad in my last days, that I can have that faith that he had right through to the very end and not despair or give up on life. Examine, he says, to see where you are in the faith, to see how faith is shaping you, it's changing you. Examine yourselves, he says. And then he uses the word dokimazo, which means to test. And it's it's meant to test, to examine, to prove, to scrutinize, to see whether something is genuine or not. As in testing metal, you know, that testing for gold, you know. Is it gold? You know, or is it, you know, what is it? What kind of metal is it? There's all kinds of tests to prove the metal of something. And what is the test that Paul says? He says, test yourselves, for do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. But then he says, and I trust that you will discover that when you scratch and sniff, remember scratch and sniff t-shirts a long time ago? Oh, yeah, it smelled like oranges, right? Remember? Well, hold on. Scratch your life. He says, scratch your life. Scratch and sniff. Do you smell like Jesus? Are you recognizing more and more that Jesus is in you? See, these are all kind of prerequisites for being able to set those lofty goals for ourselves. Because these goals don't just happen by themselves. It's because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Test your life. Look at your life and see, how am I growing in my Christ-likeness? How have I been doing that this year? This past year? And how do I want to do that this next year? Test. Test and approve. Recognize as genuine after examination, to approve, to deem worthy. You know, we're not just setting any kind of goals for ourselves. We're setting a goal to become more like Christ. And then finally, he uses the word catharsis, which means perfection. Perfection. Or, as the translation that we read, full restoration. What are some of the areas of your life that need to be restored this year or brought to completion? Being whole, complete, perfect. What are those areas in your life that are, you've been struggling with so much? Paul says, look, my prayer for you is that you would be brought to that fullness of completion, fullness of restoration in your soul. Do you want soul restoration this next year? Do you want to be restored from some of those childhood memories, those childhood hurts, those things that other people have done to you in the past that have caused all kinds of pain and sorrow and hurt? Do you want to finally be able to let them go and let God heal you and restore you? It's possible. It's possible. that you can be brought to that place of full restoration. Paul says, aim for full restoration. Make it your goal to be restored in Christ. You know, Paul encourages us to set our sights high and to reach for the very best that we can be over this next year. To show ourselves to be genuine article, not because we're good in and of ourselves, but because Christ Himself is living in us. And as we live up to the challenge that Paul's setting before us here, we can demonstrate that Christ is in us the hope of glory, and that He is doing His formative, transforming work within our lives. Okay, so we've established that it's okay for us, and it's even desirable for us, to set challenging goals for our spiritual and personal development. And that's what Paul's been talking about so far in Philippians and in 2 Corinthians. Now the challenge is, how do we go about meeting the goals that we set for ourselves? Well, I just want to give you three words of encouragement today relating to that. These are not the how-to. And I hope this doesn't come across as a how-to. If you do these, this. No, this is, want to encourage you with these words, okay? To set lofty goals for yourself this next year. And if you're going to achieve them, these are some of the things that you will need to build into your life this year as well. First of all, the pathway to accomplishment is to stay focused on your goals. Okay? It's one thing to set a goal on New Year's Eve for this next year. It's another thing, right, Carolyn? It's another thing to keep focused on that goal and to achieve the goal, right? Yeah. That's a personal word there for Carolyn. Just want to encourage her. Right? Because I won't tell you what, she can talk to her afterwards, but she has done an amazing thing. She set a goal for herself and she achieved it. And it was an amazing goal. And I'm so in awe of how she has been so persevering on that. She stayed focused on her goal and she achieved it. You know, that's so important for us to do that. You know, and we see an example of that in Hebrews chapter 8 verses, or Hebrews chapter 11 verses 8 to 10. Where we read this about Abraham. In this passage, it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. You know, when Abraham was given this promise by God, he set as his goal as to track with God and to fulfill that, to see that promise fulfilled. He saw things through the eyes of faith. He obeyed and he went. Even though he did not know where he would end up, he took steps toward that goal. He had that goal in mind and he kept it front and center. And he was willing to trade short-term pain for long-term gain. He lived as a stranger in a foreign land. He lived in a tent. He made sacrifices to get to where he knew he needed to be. And he was a possibility thinker. If God has said it, I know it's possible. If God is giving me this sense of vision, this sense of purpose, this goal, I know that he will help me to get to that goal. He will get me where he wants me to be. And we're told that he was looking forward. He was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. You know, that phrase, that whole sentence there just reminds me of this whole visioning kind of process. God said, I'm taking you to a new land. I'm giving you this land, and your descendants will be like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, and you will inhabit that land, and it will be a beautiful place for you and your seed forever. And all the nations of the world will be blessed through you. Beautiful place. And so Abraham got his goal in mind. He envisioned this city that was made by God. And he kept his eyes looking towards that city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. He focused on that long-term fulfillment of the promise and didn't waver from it. It was the goal of his faith, a faith goal. And we also see, you know, the second thing. Okay, so that first thing, just be encouraged. Be encouraged. Stay focused. Like Abraham, because God has some beautiful things promised for us as we trust him and step out with him. The second thing, if we want to, on this pathway to accomplishment, is we need to adopt a new kind of attitude. A new kind of attitude that is really whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, Lord, to see you grow in me, to see you become more and I become less. Whatever it takes, Lord, I want to follow that. I want to become more like you. So whatever it takes. And we see this in Paul's attitude in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14, where he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained all of this or already been arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Take a few moments to just let these words from Paul sink in. Now this whole passage is all about whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes. If I got to let go of some things out of my life, if I've got to jettison some practices or other things that are not healthy in my life, I want to do it. I'll do it so that I can grow in my understanding of who you are. Not just my understanding, my experience of who you are, Jesus. Paul's whatever it takes approach to his goals is summarized in a single-minded determination to know Christ and be found in him. I want to be found in Christ. I want to grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ. He was committed to becoming like Christ in every way. His was a just do it. Let's just do it approach to life. He knew he had a lot of rough edges. He knew that he wasn't anywhere near perfect. But he knew what he had to do to take hold of, to grasp onto that for which Jesus had taken hold of him. The reality of transformation. The reality of knowing Christ and having the presence of Jesus begin to transform him from within by that whole new way of being. Paul was committed to just doing it. By letting go of the past failures and keeping moving forward. He just did it by keeping before him the incentive of winning the prize that God had set before him in Christ Jesus. No excuses. Just do it. Doesn't matter how many times you stumble, you fall, you just get yourself back up, dust yourself off, and keep moving towards your goal. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And finally, on the pathway to accomplishment, here's another little thing that we'll need to keep in mind if we're going to achieve the goals for which we have set for ourselves. Growing in our faith this next year. Fear not. Fear not. There's a couple of things relating to fear. One thing about fear is fear of failure. How many of you have ever had that sense, in the back of your mind, I can't do this because I'm afraid that I'm going to fail? Anybody? I mean, that should be every one of us, because really, all of us have that fear of failure within us. It's kind of conditioned within us through society because everybody wants to achieve everything, but we're so afraid to fail. Without failures in our life, we can never know what true success is. The biggest areas of our life, the biggest changes in our life come from the biggest failures. So, we're encouraged to fear not. Don't fear failure. Because failure is a fear of loss. We're losing something if we fail. And what I would really encourage you to do is to harness that fear of loss and turn it into a positive motivator. And we can see this in how the Apostle Peter shares with us this thing about the day of the Lord that's coming. He says in 2 Peter 3:10-15, he says this, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought we to be?" That's interesting, isn't it? He's talking about the day of the Lord. When the day of the Lord comes, when Jesus comes again, and all of these things, the elements are destroyed by fire and everything. He's talking about all these things, and oh my goodness, that's really scary. I mean, that You know, that's what that's what old-time gospel preachers used, you know. The fear of hell, you know, the fear of the coming of the Lord, you know, to cause people to come to faith. Well, that's not quite the way we want people to come to faith, but there's a fear of loss in there, right? I don't want to lose out. I don't want to be caught in that day. I don't want to be caught on the outside looking in. And so Peter says, you know, in light of the fact that this day is coming, what kind of people ought we to be? He says, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed it's coming. Bring it on, Lord. I know how I'm going to live. I know how I'm ordering my life. I'm growing in your grace. I'm growing in your life. I'm using that. I look to the what's coming in the future. And this is the kind of person I want to be in you. And this is the kind of person I want to be to others who don't know you. And so he says, you know, look forward to that day and speed it's coming. For that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will be made melt into heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He says, we know what the future is. We know what God is going to do when Christ comes again in the future. So he says, be ready now. Be the people of God now. Be salt and light now. Do whatever it takes. Don't be afraid of failure. Continue to build your faith. Continue to build yourself up in your most holy faith. We know that one day God will bring about an end to everything as we know it. Therefore, shouldn't we be motivated by a fear of loss to take all the steps possible so that we will not miss out on the promises God has made concerning his future, our future with him, and the future of others who do not know him yet? Peter asked, what kind of people ought we to be? We ought to be people who live holy and godly lives, people who look forward to the day of the Lord, speeding its coming, people who are making every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God, people who are highly motivated from within because we don't want to miss out on the blessings that God himself has in store for us. Powerful motivation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So as we conclude this morning, I want you to do one last thing. I want you to take that piece of paper again, that little slip of paper that you made. I want you to look at it. Okay? This is a good goal. This is a good goal for my physical health. I also want you to take a look at it and say, is this a resolution that will help me to grow in my faith this next year? And, you know, I really would encourage you to not only take this piece of paper, but take some time today and maybe on New Year's Day as well, just to look. Again, examine your life. Test your life. See what are those goals, what are those objectives that you would like to set for yourself for this next year that are going to help you to come to that full restoration of your soul. Take some time to set a goal for yourself in terms of your personal growth, spiritual growth, and development. We really encourage you to be among the 12% this year who are the faithful by focusing in on the long-term goals of transformation, by doing whatever it takes to hold on to this goal, hold on to your faith, and to recognize the eternal consequences of our choices to engage or disengage in the process. You know, there are some things that are going to lead us to away from God. There are things that are going to lead us towards God. And my prayer for you today is that you would have the wisdom and discernment to understand which is which for you. As we approach this new year, we have the opportunity to start afresh. With a blank slate, all we have to do is to pray, Lord, I've been struggling to walk in the transforming power of your Spirit. But as of today, I resolve to fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. And with your help, Lord, with your strength, I know that I can become all that you have created me to be in Christ Jesus this new year. Let's pray. Lord, this is the prayer of my heart for each one of the people who are listening to this word today, whether they be here in the sanctuary or online. Lord, it's my prayer that each one of us would have that resolve to live for you more faithfully this next year, and that we would take the steps that would lead us towards deeper growth and maturity in you. Help us, Lord, to grow up in our faith and to come to that place of full restoration in our souls. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you that all this is possible because of the hope that we have in you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name.